The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus passed through the towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. I want to start with the Gospel today that we just heard. It says that someone asked the Lord, "Will only a few be saved?" And what I think is interesting is that it's in the passive voice. Be saved. Will only a few be saved? As if it's this predetermined thing that God has simply chosen to save some or a certain group. And we're going to come back to this, but this question perhaps comes out of a mindset in the Hebrew mind at the time of our Lord, because, of course, we know that the Lord chose Abraham. And he said, you know, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the heaven and as numerous as the sand on the shore of the sea. And he told Abraham to go and move, and Abraham did, and Abraham eventually had Isaac, and Isaac eventually had Jacob. And Jacob, of course, had his 12 sons, and Jacob being renamed to Israel, those 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel, and they were the chosen people. God had chosen them to be his special people. They would obey his commandments. He would lead them. And he says, you know, "I will be your God and you will be my people." And then they were supposed to kind of go out into the world and spread God's message. And there could have very easily slipped in this mindset that perhaps they were kind of better than everyone else. And maybe they were the group that was going to be saved. And we see that this question being asked, will only a few be saved? The Lord tells us in our first reading today from the book of the prophet Isaiah, he answers this question. And he says, I came to gather nations of every language. I've come to bring everyone. And even the exhortation that we're given in the responsorial psalm, go out into all the world and tell the good news, that we're called to go out into the world. And that the Lord does not simply desire just the salvation of some people or of a certain group of people, but everyone. And he says this in Isaiah, and he tells us to go do this in the Psalm. And coming back to the Gospel, this is how he answers the question. When they say, "Lord, will only a few be saved?" Again, as if it were, you know, just a group of people was going to be saved. You know, because the chosen people of Israel, they it was a matter of you were born into it or you weren't. You were either part of that family clan or you weren't. We, of course, see the church as the new Israel, the new chosen people of God. We are born into this not by physical birth, but by baptism. And indeed, anyone can be born into this family. And as the chosen people, we are called to go out into the world like the chosen people of Israel were, and to bring others in with us. But what does the Lord say in the Gospel? Instead of answering the question, well, this number of people will be saved, or this group of people will be saved, what does he say? He says, strive. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. The Lord is telling all of us, try. Now, the Lord knows right now, because he knows everything, right? So the Lord knows right now who of us here will through our own actions end up making it to heaven, and who of us here will end up making it to hell? And who of us here, most of us, I imagine, certainly myself included, will spend a little bit of time in the suburbs of heaven, also known as purgatory. But the Lord knows that now. The Lord knows that now, but he has not predetermined this in the sense that he simply chose some of us to go to heaven and some of us to go to hell. He knows because he knows everything, and he knows what free choices we're going to make that will ultimately end us up in one of those two places. But, something I'd like to point out is this is one of the distinctions that the Catholic faith has with some of our Protestant brothers and sisters. Not all of them, but some of them. And I don't want to sound like I'm bashing our Protestant brothers and sisters, because many of them are holier than us. And many of them are going to get into heaven sooner than we will. But this is one of the important distinctions. The so-called Reformed theology that, again, some, not all of our Protestant brothers and sisters subscribe to. But John Calvin had this doctrine of double predestination, that some people were just destined for heaven and some were just destined for hell. And if you were destined for heaven, yeah, you should do good works. You should be a good person, but it doesn't really matter because you're going to heaven anyway, because God just decided, right? And if you're going to hell, you can try to do some good things, but it's not going to help because you're going to hell, right? Very, very gloom and doom kind of theology. You can see why the Catholic Church condemned it and said, no, that is not what we believe. You know, God offers salvation to everyone. And isn't this what he's telling us in the gospel today? Strive. He doesn't say, yeah, some people, you know, this group of people were going to be saved, or this number of people are going to be saved. Just, 144,000 people will be saved. Again, as some of our Protestant brothers and sisters would like to believe. He says, try, strive. Now, he goes on to say, I tell you, many will attempt and will not be strong enough. He doesn't give us names. He doesn't give us a number. He says, some are going to try and they're not going to make it. They're not going to try hard enough. But he gives us all of the grace and strength we will ever need to get there. And so if we don't get there, my brothers and sisters, we will never be able to blame God and say, well, he never gave me, all the grace, all the strength that I really needed. He didn't pull. No. It will be squarely on our shoulders that he gave it to us and we didn't respond. We didn't use it. We didn't try hard enough. You know, there's this great debate that came out of the Protestant Reformation of, what saves us, our faith or our works? And the Catholic answer is kind of both. You need faith, but if you really have faith, then good works are going to come. And if they don't come, that's an indication that maybe there really isn't faith there. But, you hear sometimes on TV, this, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? And that's a good thing. We should. We should accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. But it's not like once we've done that, we can then go and do whatever else we want, because once saved, always saved, right? I've accepted the Lord as my personal Savior, so I'm good to go. I don't need to. I can do whatever else. Now, in the defense, those Protestant brothers and sisters that subscribe to that theology, they would still say, of course, well, you're supposed to do good things. But it comes back to that theology I was talking about, that, once saved, always saved. That's not what we believe, and that can't be the case. And the reverse is also not true, the opposite, that somehow just our works save us. We can be very good people. We can help out at the soup kitchen. We can be good citizens. We can pay our taxes. We can help our neighbors. And don't get me wrong, we're supposed to do that. Those are all good things. But you know as well as I do that we can do good things for not so good reasons, or even good things for wrong reasons. We can have them disconnected from a faith that should be there and that should be the fountain of our good works. So the Lord is telling us, this is what you need. You need to believe in him, and then from that need to flow good, holy works. This is when he says some will strive but will not be strong enough. What wasn't strong enough? Their faith. Their faith wasn't strong enough. They tried. They were maybe doing lots of good work. They were trying, but their faith wasn't strong enough. They didn't believe. Or maybe they didn't believe at all. The reverse is also true. In this parable, he says, you know, some people come and they call him Lord. They said, Lord, you know, we ate and drank with you. You taught in our streets. And he says, I don't know where you're from, and he calls them evil doers. So this is kind of the reverse. People that have faith, they call him Lord. They listen to his teaching, and then they don't allow that teaching to permeate their lives and to bring forth good works, and he calls them evil doers. So we have these two extremes. You know, just good works and no faith, or just faith and no good works. And the Lord is telling us you need both. You need both. And this is why the gospel is good news. That's what the word means. The gospel means good news. Because I don't know about you, but this would not be good news if I believed, you know, that some were simply predestined for heaven and some were simply predestined for hell. Because, you know, it's great if you're one of those ones predestined to heaven. What if you're one of the ones predestined to hell? You know, we're not going to find out until we get there, right? That's not good news, brothers and sisters. That kind of scares me, if I believe that. And in the defense of our Protestant brothers and sisters who profess to believe that, I doubt many of them actually do really believe that, because I don't see how you could go through life as a happy person. But the Lord is telling us, strive. That's what he tells us in the gospel today. Strive. I will give you all of the grace and all of the strength you will ever need to get there. And this is why this is good news, is because our salvation is, in a sense, in our hands. Now, I don't want to slip into another heresy by suggesting that we can save ourselves, because we can't. God's the one who's going to do it, but we need to cooperate. And I'm going to end by saying this, you know, once we've kind of taken care of ourselves, that's not enough. The purpose of the Christian life isn't just to get ourselves to heaven. It's once we've taken care of that, we need to bring as many other people with us as possible. We can go back to the psalm. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. We are, as the church, the new chosen people of Israel. We are in that new position to go out into the world. Once we have come to accept the Lord Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, and we've come to show that faith in our lives through our good works, we are called to go out into the world and bring as many other people with us to heaven. Because again, that is God's will. God's will is not that only some people wind up in heaven. God's will is that every single human being that he has ever created and that he ever will create, each and every one of them wind up in heaven. That is what God wants. Now, because we have free will, we know that that's not necessarily going to happen, because God's going to respect our free will. And if we go through life saying no to him, he's going to respect that. But that's what God wants. And that burden is placed on our shoulders to go out into the world and to bring as many other people with us as possible. Let's pray for that today, that we may have that realization that this is what we are called to take care of ourselves, and then to bring as many other people with us as possible. Let's pray for that grace today.